The nearer a man comes to a calm mind, the closer he is to strength. In the grand tapestry of human interaction, every word we speak is a thread that can either strengthen the weave or cause it to unravel. Choose your threads wisely. Epictetus counsels, first learn the meaning of what you say and then speak. In the theater of life, the wise person often chooses to be an audience, understanding that words are like keys. Used wisely, they can unlock greatness. Used recklessly, they can close the doors of opportunity. They practice the art of stoicism, speaking not out of turn, but out of truth, teaching us that the most profound statements are often made in silence. The wise person's silence is a loud lesson. They speak only when their words outweigh the silence. For in the halls of Stoicism, it's known, speak not because you must, but because your words can change the must into a meaningful melody. A sage whispers in a world that shouts, knowing that wisdom, like the sun, doesn't have to roar to be felt. In the stillness of their calm, they teach the Stoic truth. It's not the volume of our words, but the weight of their silence that truly speaks. We're all too familiar with those who only talk for attention, filling the air with meaningless chatter to mask their lack of substance. But the ancient Stoics knew better. They saw words as weapons, effective only when precisely targeted and used purposefully. On top of that, it's in silence that we can observe, learn, and understand. Thus, by speaking less and listening more, your words gain weight and substance, making others listen when you speak. In a world where everyone seems to be talking but nobody is truly listening, the ancient Stoics presented a powerful alternative. They taught us that words are not merely sounds, but tools, to be used sparingly and effectively. In our modern world, we are bombarded by endless noise, chatter, and distraction. It's easy to fall into the trap of speaking without thinking, talking just to fill the silence. But Stoicism invites us to break this pattern, to embrace silence not as emptiness, but as a canvas for deeper understanding and meaningful connections. The world has grown loud. Every screen shouts. Every voice demands attention. Every moment feels like an emergency. In that constant noise, the modern mind begins to fracture. We scroll, we chase, we react, and somewhere along the way, we forget how to be still. But silence was never weakness. It was power, waiting to be reclaimed. The greatest strength is not found in motion, but in control. The quiet mind is not an escape from life. It is command over it. A quiet mind is a rare force. It sees clearly when others are blinded by noise. It moves with precision while the world stumbles in haste. It does not rush to answer, argue, or prove. It simply understands. This kind of calm cannot be faked. It is forged. It is the product of discipline, of awareness, of mastery over thought. To quiet the mind is to become untouchable, to turn inner stillness into an unbreakable advantage. Those who master silence do not live smaller lives. They live sharper ones. They think deeper, act cleaner, speak wiser, and endure longer. Their composure is not absence of feeling. It is the presence of order. They are not controlled by the world. They control how the world reaches them. In an age where everyone speaks, the one who learns to be still will always lead. This is the power of the quiet mind, the art of remaining unshaken in a world built to shake you. Noise surrounds the modern Stoic at every turn. The world has become a constant broadcast. Yet beneath this storm, a truth older than civilization waits to be rediscovered. Peace is not the absence of noise, but the mastery of attention. A quiet mind does not require a quiet world. It requires dominion within. To govern thought is to reclaim existence itself. The Stoics understood that the mind is the citadel of the self. What happens outside may bruise the body or disturb the senses, but the mind, if disciplined, remains untouched. Marcus Aurelius wrote that the soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts. In a time when the world constantly tries to paint the mind with its own colors, outrage, comparison, anxiety, the Stoic trains to choose the pigment of focus. Silence becomes strength. Stillness becomes command. To quiet the mind is not to withdraw from life. It is to move through life without being carried by it. The modern person is bombarded by fragments of information, each demanding emotional reaction. Yet reaction is the death of judgment. A Stoic does not chase after each sound that enters the ear. The quiet mind listens but does not cling. It observes but does not absorb chaos. It hears without losing composure. Every thought is a signal. Every signal asks for attention. Most people surrender instantly. They allow their minds to become public arenas where every impulse performs. The Stoic learns the discipline of selective admission. Only what is useful, necessary, or rational enters the gates of consciousness. Everything else is dismissed with calm indifference. This is not suppression. It is selection. A quiet mind is a well-governed city. Its walls are guarded by reason, and its streets remain clear for reflection. Technology has made the mind porous. Attention leaks through every notification, every opinion disguised as urgency. The Stoic learns to treat each digital intrusion as a test of command. To check is to surrender. To delay is to decide. The quiet mind does not need to know everything immediately. It trusts that what truly matters endures long enough to be found later. Impulses vanish. Truth remains. Stillness is a posture, not a pause. The Stoic does not wait for peace. They create it through focus. A calm person in a chaotic world is not passive. They are precise. Their calm is the result of relentless pruning, removing what does not serve the inner order. Like a sculptor, they carve away noise until the essential shape of the self emerges. The quiet mind is not empty. It is refined. Distraction is the modern poverty. It drains without warning, leaves no scars, and yet robs years from life. The Stoic treats attention as currency. To waste it is to decay unseen. To invest it is to build unseen. The quiet mind does not chase stimulation because stimulation is not satisfaction. What appears as boredom to others is clarity to the disciplined. In silence, the mind begins to hear its own logic again. Epictetus taught that we are disturbed not by events, but by our opinions about them. The quiet mind separates fact from fiction, signal from interpretation. Most suffering arises in the gap between what happened and what the mind imagines about it. A Stoic closes that gap. They describe reality as it is, not as they wish or fear it to be. The result is a mind that remains calm under pressure, for nothing false is allowed to grow within it. Every emotion begins as a thought. Every thought carries a tone. The quiet mind listens to its own tone before it speaks. Anger is often an unexamined assumption. Envy is misplaced attention. Anxiety is projection of control beyond one's reach. When the Stoic observes these thoughts early, they lose power. The mind becomes an observer, not a battlefield. Thought still arises, but it no longer commands obedience. The modern pace rewards reaction, not reflection. Yet reaction multiplies chaos, while reflection restores order. A Stoic does not race the world. They walk through it with deliberate rhythm. In this rhythm, tension transforms into control. Life's noise becomes background music, no longer dictating emotion. The quiet mind turns existence into practice. Every conversation, every obstacle, every delay becomes an exercise in remaining unmoved. In the presence of a quiet mind, others feel their own noise. Calmness radiates authority because it signals mastery over something invisible. The Stoic does not compete for attention. They command it through stillness. The quiet mind speaks less, but when it does, words carry weight. Listeners sense the discipline behind each sentence. The absence of rush creates gravity. This is psychological sovereignty. The quiet mind is immune to emotional contagion. Outrage, fear, and vanity are contagious because they seek hosts. When one refuses to host them, they fade. The Stoic remains grounded in perception, not participation. To see clearly is to be free. Emotional independence is not coldness, it is stability. The quiet mind feels deeply, but decides deliberately. It does not confuse emotion with evidence. Many seek calm through escape, retreating into comfort, avoiding challenge, silencing discomfort through entertainment. The Stoic finds calm within confrontation. They enter difficulty willingly, carrying order into disorder. The quiet mind is tested under noise, not away from it. In the crowd, in pressure, in uncertainty, that is where the Stoic proves silence. A calm practiced only in solitude is untested. True calm stands amid conflict without losing structure. Modern anxiety thrives on the illusion of control. People attempt to manage what was never theirs to direct. Others' opinions, future outcomes, random chance. The Stoic turns inward instead. They claim command only over judgment, intention, and action. Everything external remains accepted, not resisted. This acceptance is not surrender, it is strategy. The quiet mind does not argue with reality. It aligns with it and acts from within that alignment. Seneca wrote that tranquility comes when we cease to hope and cease to fear. Both emotions drag the mind into what does not yet exist. The quiet mind remains anchored to the present, where thought and action intersect. Hope can paralyze as much as despair. Expectation is the subtle enemy of peace. The Stoic replaces expectation with preparation. Whatever comes, they are ready to meet it without complaint or surprise. To maintain a quiet mind is to endure the boredom of stability. Chaos excites. Stillness demands discipline. Most abandon stillness because it lacks spectacle. The Stoic embraces it because it reveals truth. Beneath all drama, existence is simple. One breath, one thought, one act at a time. The quiet mind aligns with this simplicity. It finds satisfaction in control, not distraction. Simplicity becomes sophistication. Calmness in crisis is not inborn, it is trained. The Stoic rehearses equanimity daily. Small irritations, delays, or discomforts become practice grounds. When the larger storms arrive, composure is already conditioned. The quiet mind responds the same way to rain or thunder. Reaction is replaced by readiness. A person who can remain composed in minor trials becomes immovable in great ones. Many misunderstand silence as weakness, yet silence often conceals power. The Stoic knows that speech consumes energy and reveals intention. To remain silent is to conserve both. The quiet mind speaks only when necessity demands, and its speech carries the weight of restraint. Restraint creates mystique. Mystique creates influence. The one who does not rush to express gains control over perception itself. The modern obsession with stimulation dulls perception. Constant novelty numbs the capacity to notice. The quiet mind reverses this decay. It notices everything, the movement of breath, the tension in posture, the patterns of thought repeating without awareness. Attention becomes forensic. Through observation, the Stoic discovers the architecture of their own mind and begins to design it deliberately. A noisy mind cannot distinguish between urgency and importance. The quiet mind ranks all things by principle. What aligns with virtue is essential. What feeds vanity or fear is discarded. This hierarchy simplifies existence. Decision becomes clear. Energy is not divided. The Stoic moves through the day with focus that others mistake for luck. In truth, it is design, the design of internal order. Modern culture worships expression. Every opinion demands publication, every feeling validation. The quiet mind chooses discretion instead. To hold an opinion privately is power. To process emotion without audience is maturity. The Stoic does not need recognition to confirm truth. Silence is the highest confidence. It signals self-sufficiency of thought. Noise begs to be believed. Silence already is. There is no true freedom without control of thought. External freedom without inner command is just another form of dependence. The quiet mind is the ultimate liberty because it cannot be enslaved by circumstance. Imprison a body, and the mind remains free to interpret. Criticize a person, and they remain free to decide what meaning to assign. This autonomy is Stoic sovereignty, rule over perception itself. In an age of constant connectivity, solitude becomes medicine. The Stoic seeks it not for escape, but recalibration. Silence allows perception to settle, thought to slow, and reason to resurface. The quiet mind requires space to hear itself. It is in solitude that the noise of collective thinking fades and individual clarity returns. From this clarity, judgment sharpens, values align, and presence strengthens. The quiet mind treats each day as a contained universe. Morning thought sets the tone of the cosmos. Evening reflection measures its order. Routine becomes ritual. By repetition, the Stoic polishes awareness. A single moment of unguarded distraction can corrupt an hour. A single act of conscious focus can restore it. Life becomes a sequence of opportunities to remain composed. Practice becomes peace. Every disturbance is an invitation to remember control. When provoked, the Stoic sees the test, not the insult. When delayed, they see patience training, not obstruction. When plans collapse, they see reality asserting authority. The quiet mind uses everything. Nothing is wasted. Every event becomes raw material for inner architecture. Through this lens, adversity becomes nourishment for calm. The quiet mind does not resist emotion, it channels it. Energy once spent on anger becomes fuel for action. Energy once lost in anxiety becomes focus on preparation. Emotion becomes servant, not master. The Stoic redirects passion through reason like a river guided by stone. What once flooded becomes power. The mind remains still even while the heart beats fast. Stillness within motion. A person with a quiet mind is not unfeeling, they are unconfused. They experience grief, joy, pain and love without distortion. The Stoic does not eliminate emotion but removes exaggeration. Reality is felt as it is, not magnified by interpretation. This purity of perception allows deep appreciation without dependence. Gratitude replaces craving. Peace replaces restlessness. Presence replaces escape. In conversation, the quiet mind listens for substance. It filters exaggeration, vanity, and hidden motive. The Stoic listens beyond words, to tone, intent, and alignment with reason. They do not need to respond quickly. The pause before speech is their signature. It is the space where thought replaces impulse. Every pause is power, every silence a declaration of control. Those who master calm often appear mysterious. The quiet mind operates without performance. It does not announce discipline. It simply behaves in accordance with it. Consistency replaces display. Integrity replaces explanation. The Stoic does not claim mastery. They demonstrate it through stability. Presence becomes proof. The world recognizes this authority without introduction. In stillness, creativity flourishes. Noise fragments thought, but silence integrates it. The quiet mind becomes fertile ground for insight because attention is undivided. Many seek inspiration through intensity. The Stoic finds it through emptiness, not absence, but openness. When the mind ceases to chase, it begins to perceive connections hidden by motion. Stillness reveals structure. Ideas mature in silence. Life rarely demands more from a person than presence, yet presence is impossible without quiet. The noisy mind is elsewhere, regretting, anticipating, comparing. The Stoic's presence anchors attention to what is directly before them. In this focus, efficiency emerges naturally. Tasks complete cleanly. Effort becomes graceful. The quiet mind wastes nothing, not even a moment of awareness. Every human carries internal dialogue, the constant commentary interpreting life. The Stoic rewrites this dialogue into order. Thought becomes tool, not noise. Each sentence of the mind is examined. Is it true? Is it useful? Does it align with reason? The quiet mind moderates itself through self-inquiry. Over time, false narratives fade. What remains is clear intention and inner stability. The practice of a quiet mind is lifelong. Each day the world offers new noise, new distractions, new invitations to lose focus. The Stoic treats these as repetitions in the gym of attention. Strength grows by exposure. The quiet mind expands through challenge. In this training, peace is no longer fragile, it is fortified. Calm becomes armor. The noise of the world no longer penetrates the fortress within. Marcus Aurelius once wrote, "The happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts." In that single line, the emperor revealed the foundation of inner sovereignty. Happiness is not a gift given by the world. It is an outcome of disciplined thought. The quality of one's mind determines the quality of one's existence. For the Stoic, this means that peace is not a product of circumstance, but of perception. The mind becomes the architect of tranquility or the author of turmoil. Each thought is a brushstroke shaping the inner life. To refine the mind is to refine the soul itself. The modern person is surrounded by noise, digital, emotional, and psychological, yet Marcus reminds us that the true retreat is inward. Nowhere can man find a quieter or more untroubled retreat than in his own soul. This retreat is not escape, it is return. The Stoic does not run from the world. They descend into the depths of reason where peace resides. The quiet mind is not distant from life, but centered within it. It observes without surrendering to the chaos that surrounds it. To cultivate this inner refuge is to carry silence wherever one goes, unshaken by the noise of the external world. Every day, the modern mind is challenged by comparison, distraction, and agitation. The Stoic response is not to seek perfect conditions, but to perfect perception. If you are distressed by anything external, Marcus writes, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it, and this you have the power to revoke at any moment. The world may present disturbances, but interpretation determines suffering. Between event and emotion lies judgment, and within judgment lies freedom. A quiet mind holds that space open. It sees the event clearly, separates it from imagination, and refuses to add unnecessary weight to what is simply reality. The Stoic's power lies in selection. They choose what thoughts to allow residence within. A single unchecked assumption can disturb an entire day. A single disciplined judgment can restore calm. The quiet mind operates like a gatekeeper. It does not suppress emotion. It regulates entry. It asks of each thought, Is this within my control? Is this aligned with virtue? Does this serve clarity or confusion? Through this methodical questioning, the mind filters chaos into order. It becomes its own retreat, a fortress of serenity built from reason. Marcus lived surrounded by war, disease, and betrayal, yet he found peace not in avoidance, but in interpretation. To the Stoic, adversity is a classroom. Each difficulty teaches detachment, each insult trains patience, each loss refines acceptance. A quiet mind is forged in confrontation, not comfort. It learns to remain clear while storms rage around it. In this clarity, the Stoic sees that the world cannot injure what is within their governance, their own judgment, intention, and action. The rest belongs to fate and should be met without protest. Inward peace begins with the discipline of thought. The modern person confuses stimulation for vitality, yet the mind grows sharper in silence than in noise. The Stoic learns to sit within stillness without seeking escape. Silence reveals the architecture of thought, the structure of fear, desire, and impulse. The quiet mind observes these patterns until they lose their grip. Thought becomes tool, not tyrant. It serves action, not anxiety. In this disciplined awareness, the Stoic rediscovers freedom, the ability to think deliberately rather than react compulsively. Aurelius taught that each day must begin with awareness of the mind's duty. Mourning is not for indulgence, but alignment. A Stoic awakens to train perception, to remind themselves that peace is within command. They review their principles before the world begins its intrusion. They remind themselves that happiness depends not on outcome, but on the state of thought. The quiet mind is built by daily construction, each reflection a stone, each act of restraint a reinforcement of walls that protect tranquility. The Stoic's retreat is not a physical place, but a posture. Even in conversation, in the noise of labor, in the friction of relationships, the quiet mind remains unshaken. It carries stillness like armor. When insulted, it pauses. When praised, it pauses. It neither inflates nor collapses. The Stoic holds the same internal rhythm, whether surrounded by applause or criticism. That rhythm is the music of order, the harmony of thoughts disciplined by reason. To modern ears, silence feels foreign. Many seek constant input to drown the discomfort of their own reflection. Yet the Stoic sees this as spiritual poverty. The inability to sit in silence is a sign of mental dependence. The quiet mind finds contentment in its own company. It does not crave distraction because it is complete within itself. Marcus reminded himself daily that all external pleasure is fleeting, but the joy of a disciplined soul endures. The Stoic chooses this enduring joy, the stability of thought over the volatility of sensation. The quality of thought decides the texture of life. When the mind clings to resentment, life feels heavy. When it chooses gratitude, life becomes light. The Stoic does not depend on events for happiness, but on judgment. They understand that every opinion either strengthens or weakens inner peace. A quiet mind audits these opinions with precision. It identifies exaggeration, fear, and bias, removing them like impurities from metal. What remains is strength, clean, calm, and composed. The quiet mind is not passive. It acts from clarity, not compulsion. When others are driven by emotion, the Stoic remains directed by principle. They act without haste, speak without excess, decide without confusion. The energy once spent in worry becomes precision. The time once wasted on reaction becomes purpose. Stillness does not slow the Stoic. It focuses them. They move through life efficiently because nothing internal drags behind. Marcus's reminder that happiness depends on thought quality challenges the modern obsession with control. People attempt to change everything except their minds. They chase comfort, status, validation, only to remain unsettled. The Stoic reverses the direction of effort. They discipline thought, and through this internal correction, the external world loses its grip. The quiet mind turns every situation into opportunity for mastery. Nothing external can truly defeat one who governs perception. When the world feels unstable, the Stoic turns inward to the only true stronghold, reason. The quiet mind does not seek escape, but equilibrium. It does not resist life's turbulence. It rides above it, balanced and aware. This inner posture cannot be granted by luck or taken by loss. It is the outcome of repetition, daily, deliberate, disciplined thought. Marcus Aurelius wrote for himself, yet his reflections endure because they are not ancient. They are eternal reminders that peace is never elsewhere. The quiet mind stands as the summit of Stoic practice. It is the point where wisdom, discipline, and acceptance converge. To cultivate it is to live free from the tyranny of noise, to dwell in the untroubled retreat of one's own soul. As Marcus wrote, the quality of thought determines the quality of life. The Stoic makes that quality noble, measured, and serene. In such a mind, happiness is not pursued, it is present. Seneca once wrote, "The greatest blessings of mankind are within us and within our reach. A wise man is content with his lot, whatever it may be." These words reveal the essence of the quiet mind. The modern world teaches that fulfillment lies beyond, that peace is something to be earned, bought, or discovered in motion. Seneca dismantles this illusion. What is needed for tranquility has always been within reach, perspective, acceptance, and restraint. The Stoic does not chase what already belongs to them. They refine perception until it recognizes sufficiency. The quiet mind begins where desire ends. Contentment is not idleness, it is understanding. To accept one's lot is not to submit to mediocrity, but to see clearly what can be changed and what must be endured. The Stoic distinguishes between the external and the internal. Wealth, fame, and comfort belong to fortune. Reason, virtue, and composure belong to the self. The quiet mind directs effort only toward what lies within its jurisdiction. It wastes no energy on the weather of circumstance. It governs the climate of thought. Seneca observed that most human suffering originates not in fact, but in imagination. We suffer more often in imagination than in reality. Anxiety builds entire worlds that never exist. The mind fabricates catastrophes, rehearses failure, and invents criticism. The Stoic recognizes this tendency and disarms it through observation. They question each fearful thought. Is it present? Is it true? Does it help me act with reason? Through this scrutiny, illusion dissolves. The quiet mind sees reality as it is, neither softened nor dramatized. The imagination can serve wisdom or sabotage it. When left unchecked, it becomes a storm that darkens judgment. When guided, it becomes a lamp that reveals meaning. The Stoic trains imagination through reason. They visualize not disaster, but endurance. They prepare for hardship, not with panic, but with calm rehearsal. This practice turns fear into readiness. The quiet mind anticipates without anxiety, because it knows that courage is the natural response to uncertainty. True happiness, Seneca wrote, is to enjoy the present without anxious dependence upon the future. The quiet mind lives in the immediacy of now. Time is the greatest distraction. Most minds live everywhere except the moment. They dwell in memory or projection. The Stoic stands at the intersection of both, unmoved. They understand that the present is the only domain where control exists. The future is a concept. The present is command. To be fully present is to reclaim authority over existence. Happiness to the Stoic is not a pursuit, but a posture. It arises when the mind ceases to demand that life be other than it is. Each breath, each moment of awareness, each act of integrity, these are sufficient. The quiet mind finds joy in precision, in deliberate action free from noise. It does not bargain with the future for peace. It builds peace through acceptance of the present. Anxiety fades where attention stabilizes. Seneca's insight reaches deeper still. He who is brave is free. Fear enslaves the mind. It binds thought to outcomes, others' opinions, and imagined losses. The Stoic breaks these chains not through defiance, but through understanding. Fear diminishes when its source is seen clearly. Most fears are exaggerations, projections without structure. The quiet mind exposes them to reason, and reason dissolves their shadow. Courage, for the Stoic, is not loud resistance. It is steady clarity in the face of the unknown. Freedom begins internally. The modern person believes liberty is movement without restriction. The Stoic knows it is movement without confusion. External independence means little if the mind remains enslaved to impulse. The quiet mind acts, speaks, and decides from calm deliberation. It does not rush under pressure, does not beg for approval, does not panic under uncertainty. Freedom is found when nothing internal can be taken by force. A wise person, Seneca reminds, does not depend on fortune to feel complete. They view external change as weather, inevitable and temporary. Within, they maintain constant temperature. The quiet mind is climate controlled by discipline. Fortune may roar, but it cannot alter reason. A Stoic remains still amid success or ruin because their anchor lies in understanding, not circumstance. True composure is self-generated. Modern restlessness arises from endless conditional happiness. I will be content when. The Stoic removes the condition. They are content because they choose to align perception with reality. The quiet mind measures wealth not by possession, but by peace. Gratitude becomes their economy. To appreciate what exists is to multiply abundance without acquisition. Each moment becomes enough, and each breath becomes wealth. Imagination creates suffering, but awareness creates stability. The Stoic trains awareness through reflection. At day's end, they review the movements of thought as a scholar reviews a text, without judgment, but with precision. What emotion ruled today? What distraction entered unnoticed? What moment of peace was missed through haste? The quiet mind grows sharper through examination. Awareness replaces assumption, and self-mastery strengthens. Seneca taught that time is the one resource no wise person wastes. The quiet mind values time because it understands its scarcity. Every anxious thought is an hour lost to what does not exist. Every moment of presence is an hour reclaimed for life itself. The Stoic treats attention as sacred. They do not spend it on vanity or outrage. They invest it in understanding, in virtue, in presence. In this discipline, time expands because the mind no longer fragments it. The quiet mind knows that control is not conquest. It is cooperation with nature's order. To accept reality is not to surrender to it, but to act intelligently within it. The Stoic reads the current before stepping into the river. They do not curse the flow, they navigate it with precision. This cooperation brings ease. The mind ceases to fight the inevitable and begins to move harmoniously with what is. A calm mind perceives truth without distortion. Emotion clouds perception. Reason clarifies it. The Stoic keeps a clear lens between the self and the world. When insulted, they study their own reaction before responding. When delayed, they observe the impulse before complaint. This observation creates distance, and distance creates control. The quiet mind uses every irritation as an opportunity to refine detachment. Seneca viewed adversity as instruction. Hardship teaches limits, and limits reveal strength. A Stoic does not pray for lighter burdens, but for stronger minds. The quiet mind transforms pain into material for discipline. It recognizes that discomfort is not always misfortune. It is feedback from the process of becoming stronger. Peace, therefore, is not fragile. It grows alongside endurance. Every thought becomes an instrument of formation. When the mind chooses clarity over chaos, the self evolves toward freedom. When it indulges fantasy, it decays into fear. The Stoic treats thought as craftsmanship. Each reflection is measured, deliberate, and shaped toward virtue. The quiet mind becomes an artist of perception, removing excess, polishing truth, sculpting reason, until only wisdom remains. Seneca's wisdom reminds the modern thinker that tranquility is a discipline, not a mood. The quiet mind does not arrive by chance. It is built daily through patience, restraint, and honesty. The Stoic does not demand a calm world. They build a calm self. In this act, they embody freedom, courage, and contentment, the unshakable blessings that have always been within reach. To live with a quiet mind is to walk through the world as its observer, not its victim. It is to find joy in simplicity, freedom in restraint, and peace in presence. Seneca's words remain a map for those lost in modern noise. The greatest blessings are already here, waiting only for recognition. The Stoic learns to see them, to live them, and to guard them through reason. The quiet mind is the reward, the inner kingdom where a person, brave and wise, is finally free. Epictetus taught that freedom is the only worthy goal in life. Yet freedom, in the Stoic sense, is not political or material, it is psychological. It is the mastery of the inner domain, the ability to remain undisturbed by what lies outside one's control. Freedom is the only worthy goal in life. It is won by disregarding things that lie beyond our control. These words form the backbone of the quiet mind. For a Stoic, liberation begins not with rebellion against the world, but with the discipline of perception. When one ceases to fight what cannot be changed, the mind begins to move without friction. The modern world defines freedom as choice, mobility, and possession. The Stoic defines it as command. The quiet mind is the true expression of liberty because it answers to nothing external. It decides its interpretations, governs its reactions, and selects its focus. What others call limitation, the Stoic calls boundary, a marker between what belongs to fate and what belongs to self. To know this boundary is to live without confusion. Within that space, the mind stands sovereign. No man is free who is not master of himself. Self-mastery is the central pillar of Stoic practice. It is not domination but discipline, the conscious alignment of thought, intention, and action. The person ruled by impulse cannot claim freedom. Their emotions command them. Their fears dictate decisions. Their desires direct energy into endless dependence. The quiet mind reverses this order. Thought precedes reaction. Intention filters emotion. Clarity governs behavior. Through mastery, freedom becomes functional, not theoretical. The modern person is enslaved not by chains but by distraction. They move constantly, yet they are never still. They possess many options, yet few of them lead to peace. The Stoic learns that to be everywhere is to be nowhere. The quiet mind focuses on what is essential and dismisses the rest. Every unnecessary attachment is a subtle form of captivity. Every needless worry is a shackle built by imagination. Freedom begins the moment one stops negotiating with what is uncontrollable. Epictetus urged the student to make the best use of what is in their power and take the rest as it happens. This simple directive defines the entire Stoic life. The universe is shared governance. Some things are ours, most are not. The quiet mind respects this structure. It works diligently where it can act and accepts serenely where it cannot. Action and acceptance form its rhythm. Effort without anxiety, surrender without defeat. To live this way is to flow cleanly through existence. Control is not expansion, but precision. The Stoic's power lies in accuracy, not reach. The quiet mind concentrates energy on the immediate, the present, the possible. It does not scatter effort over fantasies of control. By mastering what lies near, one begins to influence what lies far. The self becomes ordered, and through this order, the world appears less hostile. Chaos shrinks when perception clarifies. The Stoic does not conquer circumstances. They clarify themselves until the storm becomes navigable. Freedom, to Epictetus, is an internal architecture. It is built through daily training, choosing reason over impulse, acceptance over resistance, clarity over confusion. The quiet mind becomes its structure, each thought a column, each act a beam supporting the house of self-command. When disturbance enters, it finds no place to settle. The mind returns naturally to balance, like a well-tuned instrument returning to its pitch. The Stoic does not aim to escape life's events, but to meet them correctly. Freedom is not found in exemption, but in readiness. The quiet mind expects challenge and greets it without surprise. Pain, loss, delay, and criticism are treated as part of the natural pattern. What can be changed is changed. What cannot is endured with composure. This composure is not indifference, it is maturity. It transforms reaction into response and transforms difficulty into discipline. The greatest obstacle to freedom is misjudgment. Most people assume that external control will secure peace. They strive to control others, predict outcomes, manipulate approval. Each attempt tightens the knot of dependence. The Stoic learns that control begins and ends within. Opinion, choice, and will are free by nature. When attention remains there, the rest of life aligns itself without force. The quiet mind does not clutch. It lets things unfold in accordance with reason. Freedom is incompatible with dependency on emotion. The Stoic does not deny feeling but refuses to serve it. When anger arises, they study its cause. When fear appears, they analyze its structure. When desire surfaces, they ask whether it leads toward virtue or away from it. This reflection breaks the reflex. The quiet mind slows the cycle of reaction, transforming raw emotion into refined understanding. Freedom is the ability to pause. The modern search for freedom often ends in exhaustion. People chase liberty in consumption, travel, and constant novelty. Yet the more they seek externally, the more they fragment internally. The Stoic simplifies the pursuit. Freedom is already available. It only requires the courage to disregard what lies beyond control. The quiet mind no longer bargains with reality. It aligns with it. By aligning, it transcends. Disregard is not neglect. It is disciplined indifference. The Stoic does not ignore the world, but ranks it correctly. What is external deserves observation, not obsession. What is internal demands cultivation. This hierarchy preserves energy. The quiet mind spends attention only where return is certain, on perception, intention, and reason. All else is treated as weather, noticed, adapted to, but never feared. Self-mastery requires continuous rehearsal. Each day provides countless tests. The irritation of delay, the sting of insult, the weight of uncertainty, all remind the Stoic to practice command. The quiet mind treats these as drills in freedom. It refuses to surrender authority over mood. Each moment of restraint strengthens independence. Each conscious response replaces chaos with clarity. Freedom becomes muscle memory. Epictetus taught that philosophy is not words, but preparation. It trains the soul for what it cannot predict. The quiet mind becomes the soldier of reason, ready, calm, aware. It enters each day armed with understanding that most things are not up to us, and that this truth is not tragedy, but liberation. Acceptance replaces anxiety. Duty replaces desire. The Stoic finds rest in responsibility. The mind's greatest weapon is choice. Between perception and judgment, a pause exists. Within that pause, freedom lives. The Stoic stretches that pause through awareness until thought becomes deliberate. Anger, fear, and vanity shrink when faced with deliberate attention. The quiet mind defends that space with vigilance. It is the territory where self-command reigns and noise cannot intrude. To master oneself is to end the civil war within. Most minds are divided, one part seeking peace, the other chasing reaction. The Stoic unifies these forces under reason. The quiet mind no longer negotiates between impulse and principle. It acts with clarity, knowing that inner order precedes outer order. This internal alignment radiates outward, influencing every interaction, every task, every silence. Freedom, when properly understood, is calm. It is not the chaos of unlimited choice, but the serenity of correct focus. The Stoic does not fear limitation, they use it to refine effort. A boundary is not a prison, but a guide. The quiet mind thrives within limits, because it knows how to act precisely where it stands. To live this way is to convert life itself into practice, a continual refinement of judgment and composure. The Stoic's serenity is not apathy, it is power without noise. They act with quiet strength, unaffected by applause or criticism. The world cannot tempt what the mind does not crave. Freedom then becomes immovable. It exists not in fortune's gifts, but in the refusal to depend on them. The quiet mind is rich even in scarcity, dignified even in defeat, unbroken even in pain. Epictetus was once a slave, yet he spoke with the confidence of a ruler. His chains were external, his mind was not. That is the lesson of Stoicism. Circumstance does not dictate sovereignty. The quiet mind remains unconquered because it never concedes its most sacred possession, choice. The Stoic chooses perception, chooses peace, chooses power through restraint. This is the architecture of true freedom. The practice of disregarding what lies beyond control is not withdrawal from life, but engagement with it at the highest level. It allows one to move through chaos without contamination, to act without agitation, to endure without despair. The quiet mind becomes both participant and observer, active yet untouched. In this balance lies mastery, the still center around which life revolves. Freedom and the quiet mind are inseparable. Each thought, each reaction, each choice either strengthens or weakens that connection. The Stoic guards it with vigilance. They do not wait for peace, they practice it. They do not hope for control, they clarify it. They do not fear fate, they cooperate with it. The quiet mind is the living embodiment of Epictetus's teaching, a soul disciplined enough to be free and free enough to remain calm. Socrates said, "He who is not contented with what he has would not be contented with what he would like to have." In this truth lies the foundation of the quiet mind. The restless soul imagines that peace waits in possession, that contentment blooms in attainment. Yet the Stoic and the true philosopher understands that desire is a fire that feeds itself. The more one gains, the more one invents to chase. The quiet mind extinguishes this endless hunger by perceiving sufficiency. It learns that contentment is not the outcome of acquisition, but the discipline of perception. What one has is enough when one has learned to see it rightly. To live without contentment is to live in perpetual noise. Desire murmurs beneath every action, whispering that now is not enough. The philosopher silences this whisper through understanding. They examine each want until its absurdity reveals itself. Why crave what adds nothing to virtue? Why long for what time will erase? The quiet mind stops seeking new scenery and begins refining the view within. Peace becomes a matter of recognition, not reward. Be as you wish to seem, Socrates urged. The quiet mind lives by this principle. Most people perform calmness, perform wisdom, perform virtue. Their peace is surface, dependent on being seen. The philosopher reverses this order. They aim to become what others pretend to be. Integrity replaces image. The quiet mind carries no contradiction between inner truth and outward appearance. It acts as it thinks, and thinks as it acts. When the self is undivided, noise vanishes. Pretension is a form of anxiety. The need to appear virtuous betrays insecurity about one's essence. The quiet mind eliminates this split. It no longer needs the world's validation to confirm its worth. By aligning being with seeming, the Stoic or philosopher escapes the exhaustion of performance. Silence becomes authenticity. Composure becomes truth. This alignment is freedom, the harmony between thought, speech, and action. The unexamined life is not worth living. In these words, Socrates connects philosophy to awareness. The quiet mind is not empty. It is illuminated by constant reflection. Examination exposes the sources of turmoil, false desires, untested beliefs, and unconscious fears. To live without such inquiry is to drift in noise created by ignorance. The philosopher listens inwardly. They dissect motives, challenge assumptions, and study reactions. Through examination, thought becomes clear, and clarity becomes peace. The unexamined mind is ruled by others. It repeats borrowed opinions, reacts to borrowed fears, and follows inherited ambitions. The quiet mind reclaims authorship. It questions everything until only what is true remains. This process is not comfort. It is purification. Falsehood burns away, leaving stillness. Awareness replaces reaction. Knowledge replaces confusion. The mind learns that peace is not avoidance of thought, but mastery of it. Plato wrote, "The first and greatest victory is to conquer yourself. To be conquered by yourself is of all things most shameful and vile." Self-conquest is the essence of the quiet mind. The true battle is internal, between impulse and principle, emotion and reason, appetite and order. The one who conquers themselves commands life. The one conquered by desire remains a slave to circumstance. The philosopher's calm is not gifted. It is won through discipline. Self-conquest does not require violence against nature, but alignment with it. Reason is not the enemy of emotion. It is its guide. The quiet mind does not suppress feeling. It structures it. Each impulse is examined, each reaction tested, each desire measured. Through this order, chaos transforms into harmony. Victory over the self is not achieved once, but maintained daily through vigilance of thought and steadiness of soul. Plato also said, "The measure of a man is what he does with power." Power reveals the architecture of the mind. When granted authority, the untrained soul expands its vanity. The disciplined soul expands its virtue. The quiet mind handles power as it handles emotion, with restraint and awareness. It understands that the ability to influence others begins with the ability to command oneself. To act with reason when empowered is the highest test of inner order. Power without control is noise amplified. The mind that cannot rule itself becomes a danger to others. The Stoic or philosopher measures success not by dominance, but by harmony. True power is calm influence, not coercion. The quiet mind shapes through presence, persuades through consistency, and leads through clarity. It exerts no pressure, yet it moves the world by example. Plato wrote that the soul of man is immortal and imperishable. For the quiet mind, this truth grants perspective. Fear of loss, fear of death, fear of insignificance all fade before the understanding that the essence of the self endures. This awareness reorders priorities. What once seemed urgent becomes trivial. What once seemed threatening becomes temporary. The quiet mind ceases to panic in the face of time. It lives in accordance with what is eternal, not what is passing. The recognition of the soul's endurance liberates the present moment. When nothing essential can be destroyed, anxiety loses its foundation. The philosopher can act without haste, love without fear, and endure without despair. The quiet mind rests in the continuity of being. It sees each experience as part of a larger unfolding. Mortality becomes context, not crisis. In this awareness, every moment acquires depth and stillness. Socrates and Plato both understood that philosophy is not escape, but engagement. The quiet mind participates in life without possession. It thinks deeply, yet lives simply. It sees the invisible structure beneath events, the pattern that connects reason, virtue, and peace. Philosophy trains perception until chaos reveals its design. The world remains noisy, but the mind that perceives its order remains calm within it. To conquer oneself, as Plato said, is to align thought with action, will with wisdom. The quiet mind practices this alignment constantly. It pauses before speech, reflects before reaction, and examines before judgment. This pause becomes a signature of power. The stillness between stimulus and response is where mastery lives. The philosopher extends that space until no event can dictate inner state. To live unexamined is to live borrowed. The examined mind is sovereign. It does not depend on external validation, for it knows itself. It does not fear change, for it understands permanence. It does not cling to pleasure, for it values order. The quiet mind transforms existence from confusion into clarity. Awareness becomes the art of living. Contentment, self-conquest, awareness. These are the dimensions of freedom shared by both Stoicism and philosophy. The quiet mind unites them. It learns to see desire as illusion, impulse as teacher, reflection as weapon. Through this union, the individual becomes untouchable. Noise may surround them, but it cannot enter. The soul remains composed, alert, awake. The quiet mind also recognizes that peace and truth are not opposites, but companions. Truth may disturb, but it clarifies. Once the false is seen, disturbance ends. The philosopher seeks truth not to comfort, but to command reality through understanding. In this way, knowledge is not accumulation, but purification, removing what is false until only what is eternal remains. Socrates taught through questions, not answers. The quiet mind follows this method. It asks itself constantly, what is within my control? What disturbs me and why? What does this reaction reveal about my attachment? In these questions lies the lifelong dialogue between reason and reality. Each answer brings quiet. Each quiet thought deepens freedom. Plato's idea of the soul's immortality invites the philosopher to live with dignity. When one's existence is seen as part of something endless, trivial pursuits dissolve. The quiet mind chooses actions that outlast the moment, acts of virtue, honesty, courage. To live in alignment with the immortal is to free oneself from the tyranny of the temporary. The examined life demands courage. Reflection exposes weakness, yet it also reveals capacity. The philosopher does not flee from flaws, but studies them until they lose power. The quiet mind accepts imperfection as part of process. Each error becomes instruction, each failure becomes refinement. The goal is not purity, but progress. Steady, deliberate evolution toward mastery. The greatest victory, Plato reminds us, is over oneself. The quiet mind wages this battle every day against distraction, vanity, and fear. It fights not with noise, but with awareness. Each act of restraint, each moment of clarity, each breath of acceptance is a triumph. Victory here is silent, yet absolute. The conquered impulses become strength. The ordered mind becomes fortress. Peace, for both Socrates and Plato, was not absence of conflict, but the presence of wisdom. The quiet mind carries this definition forward. It faces the world's turbulence with insight rather than ignorance. It studies emotion until it reveals logic, studies chaos until it reveals order. In this understanding, the philosopher finds serenity without withdrawal, freedom without escape. To master the quiet mind is to stand between thought and eternity, to see clearly, act rightly, and live consciously. Contentment is no longer fragile, self-mastery no longer effort, and reflection no longer burden. It becomes the natural rhythm of existence. The philosopher who achieves this balance does not seek calm. They are calm. Their silence speaks more than noise ever could. The world sees peace and calls it wisdom, but the wise know it as the quiet mind itself. Aristotle taught that it is the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. This is the first characteristic of the quiet mind, discernment. Most minds rush to judgment, clinging to each idea that arrives, reacting as if every impression were truth. The educated mind does not react, it evaluates. It allows thought to pass through the gates of reason before granting it residence. The quiet mind listens, observes, and examines without haste. It understands that clarity does not arise from immediate agreement, but from deliberate examination. This ability to entertain thought without submission is a form of freedom. The untrained mind is a hostage to opinion, swayed by rhetoric and emotion. The educated mind remains steady, capable of dialogue without distortion. It considers without absorption, questions without hostility, and learns without losing center. The quiet mind becomes a balanced field where ideas are tested, not worshipped. It neither rejects nor accepts in haste, it perceives. In the modern world, reaction replaces reasoning. Every impulse demands response. Every opinion demands allegiance. The quiet mind resists this pressure. It does not need to declare before it understands. It allows thought to unfold slowly, examining cause, context, and consequence. To think this way is to regain control over attention. The Stoic and the Aristotelian both recognize that mastery of perception is mastery of life. Thought, when filtered through reason, becomes insight rather than noise. To entertain a thought without accepting it is also to live without fear of contradiction. The quiet mind does not seek the comfort of agreement. It values understanding over approval. This independence creates strength. Where the unexamined mind trembles before uncertainty, the philosopher stands calm. Each question is an opportunity to refine awareness. Truth does not frighten the quiet mind, it attracts it. Aristotle wrote, happiness depends upon ourselves. This is the second foundation of the quiet mind, responsibility. The modern person waits for the world to deliver contentment, as if peace were a condition to be received. The philosopher knows it must be built. Happiness is an internal design, not an external discovery. The quiet mind does not depend on favorable events, it depends on sound judgment. It finds stability in self-governance. What others call luck, it calls discipline. When happiness depends on external validation, it becomes fragile. Praise can inflate it. Criticism can destroy it. The quiet mind removes this dependence by placing value within its own reasoning. It asks only, am I acting in accordance with virtue? Am I thinking in alignment with truth? Am I choosing clarity over impulse? When the answer is yes, the mind remains undisturbed. Fortune loses authority. Aristotle viewed happiness, eudaimonia, not as pleasure, but as excellence in action. The quiet mind interprets this as the harmony between thought and deed. To think well and act rightly is to experience peace. Happiness becomes a byproduct of precision. Each day, the philosopher shapes their mind like a craftsman shapes their tool, sharpening, refining, aligning. Through this practice, life becomes not chaotic experience, but deliberate expression. The energy of the mind is the essence of life. In this single line, Aristotle unites thought and vitality. The quiet mind does not suppress energy, it directs it. Distraction is wasted energy, emotion misused, and reaction ungoverned. The philosopher learns to channel this energy through attention. Wherever the mind focuses, life intensifies. A scattered mind weakens the self. A concentrated one strengthens it. The quiet mind becomes radiant not by stillness alone, but by the disciplined flow of its energy. Energy follows attention. The unquiet mind disperses itself across trivialities, complaints, comparisons, and fears. The quiet mind gathers itself into purpose. Every thought becomes intentional, every action deliberate. In this convergence, energy transforms into vitality. Life no longer leaks through distraction. It consolidates through awareness. The Stoic might call this alignment. Aristotle calls it flourishing. The quiet mind recognizes that the quality of life mirrors the quality of thought. Each idea either refines or pollutes the spirit. To think with clarity is to live with strength. This understanding turns philosophy into practice. The philosopher does not entertain chaos, resentment, or vanity, for they corrode inner energy. They choose thoughts that elevate the soul and discard those that weaken it. In this selection, peace becomes natural consequence. Energy, when governed by reason, becomes serenity. It does not burn, it illuminates. The quiet mind glows with composure because its force is ordered. Its rhythm is deliberate. It neither stagnates nor explodes. It flows. The Stoic might describe it as still water that reflects clearly. The Aristotelian might call it the active equilibrium of the soul, a balance between contemplation and action, awareness and movement. The educated mind is not immune to disturbance, but it is immune to confusion. It experiences emotion without being governed by it, entertains possibility without being misled by it. The quiet mind uses every experience as a lesson in refinement. Each challenge reveals the state of its own order. When provoked, it studies its reaction. When fatigued, it observes its rhythm. Knowledge is drawn not only from books, but from behavior. Aristotle believed that virtue is learned through habit. The quiet mind applies this law to thought. To think clearly once is chance. To think clearly daily is discipline. Each repetition strengthens the muscle of reason. Each pause before reaction adds a layer of composure. Over time, the mind transforms its own architecture. Confusion becomes clarity. Clarity becomes calm. Calm becomes strength. The world rewards noise, but greatness emerges from silence. The philosopher does not compete with the loud, they outlast them through depth. The quiet mind does not need to display intelligence, it embodies it. Knowledge becomes presence. The educated person does not announce their wisdom, it reveals itself in restraint. When others rush to answer, they listen. When others react, they reflect. In this difference lies dignity. Aristotle taught that contemplation was the highest form of activity, the pure exercise of reason in pursuit of truth. The quiet mind embodies this principle not only in study, but in life. Contemplation is not withdrawal, it is deep participation. The philosopher does not retreat from the world, but sees it more clearly. To contemplate is to perceive the essence behind form, the principle behind event. This sight grants stability. When one understands the pattern, one ceases to fear the movement. Happiness depends upon ourselves, also means that misery does too. The unquiet mind creates its own suffering through mismanagement of thought. It entertains false ideas, exaggerates fears, and nurtures resentment. The quiet mind practices psychological hygiene. It cleans thought as one cleans a tool, removing rust, sharpening edge. Every unnecessary emotion is polished away. The result is efficiency, energy spent only where it matters. The quiet mind converts every challenge into education. Difficulty becomes exercise for reason. Failure becomes data for reflection. Success becomes test of moderation. The philosopher welcomes all conditions as part of training. The mind grows strong through exposure, not escape. It learns endurance through repetition of order. Peace, therefore, is not fragile, it is fortified. Aristotle's view of the mind as the essence of life implies responsibility. To waste thought is to waste existence. The quiet mind conserves energy by thinking precisely. Each idea is examined before belief. Each emotion is tested before expression. This economy of attention yields abundance of presence. The philosopher becomes fully alive because no part of awareness is dispersed in noise. A disciplined mind also creates disciplined emotion. Feeling follows thought. When the mind is chaotic, the heart is restless. When the mind is ordered, the heart is calm. The quiet mind regulates both, forming a unity that moves gracefully through life. This harmony radiates outward. Others sense it not as performance, but as authenticity, the authority that comes from inner control. To entertain thought without accepting it also means to remain open to change. The quiet mind is not rigid, it adapts without losing center. Flexibility is a sign of strength. The philosopher listens to new ideas, not to surrender conviction, but to refine it. Truth invites dialogue, not defense. In this openness, learning becomes endless. The mind remains young, alert, and free. Aristotle's teaching aligns with the Stoic understanding that philosophy is practical architecture. Each principle builds a stronger foundation for clarity. The quiet mind constructs itself from discipline and reflection. It does not wait for calm, it engineers it. Each thought is brick, each decision mortar, each reflection reinforcement. Over time, the structure becomes immovable. The energy of the mind, when directed, transforms chaos into creation. The quiet mind uses this energy not for anxiety but for excellence. It applies focus where the world applies noise. Work becomes meditation. Action becomes expression of reason. The philosopher discovers that stillness is not absence of movement. It is perfect motion, precise and deliberate. The educated mind knows that to think is to shape reality. Every perception becomes a lens through which life is seen. The quiet mind polishes this lens until it reflects truth without distortion. It no longer projects fear or desire onto what it observes. Things appear as they are, not as the mind wishes them to be. This objectivity is liberation, the highest form of intelligence. Aristotle's wisdom endures because it connects knowledge to action. The quiet mind embodies this connection. It does not separate learning from living. Philosophy is not decoration, it is discipline. The philosopher practices understanding in the marketplace, in conversation, in solitude. Every encounter becomes an opportunity to apply reason. Through this constancy, thought becomes character. Happiness, then, is not an emotional peak, but a steady equilibrium, the condition of a mind at peace with its own direction. The quiet mind achieves this not through withdrawal, but through order. It knows what to think, when to act, and how to remain still. This balance turns life into art. The energy once wasted on agitation becomes presence. The attention once scattered becomes insight. The quiet mind, through Aristotle's lens, is not passive tranquility, but active harmony. It is the disciplined orchestration of thought, energy, and purpose. It entertains ideas with grace, acts with intelligence, and sustains happiness through self-command. Its calm is not emptiness, it is excellence arranged. In such a mind, energy and wisdom converge, and life itself becomes an expression of reason perfected. Epicurus wrote, "If you wish to be rich, do not add to your money, but subtract from your desire." In this statement lies a truth often forgotten. Wealth is not measured by possession, but by sufficiency. The quiet mind understands that abundance begins when craving ends. Desire multiplies noise. It tells the mind that peace must wait until something is gained, achieved, or completed. Epicurus, though not a Stoic, pursued the same summit, a state of inner tranquility unbroken by the world's turbulence. To subtract from desire is to restore silence. Modern life confuses comfort with calm. It accumulates without conclusion, hoping that excess will soothe unrest. Yet each new acquisition creates new appetite. The quiet mind recognizes this pattern and steps outside it. Instead of asking what can be added, it asks what can be released. The mind that desires less begins to hear itself again. In that simplicity, freedom returns. The measure of peace is not how much one has, but how little one needs to remain whole. Nothing is enough for the man to whom enough is too little. These words capture the cycle that imprisons the untrained mind. Dissatisfaction is not born from scarcity, but from expectation. The more one expects, the less one experiences. The quiet mind rejects this trap by redefining satisfaction as alignment with the present. It treats the moment not as a means, but as an end. Gratitude becomes philosophy, not emotion. To live without excess desire is not denial. It is the reclamation of proportion. Desire, when left ungoverned, becomes addiction to potential. The mind learns to crave what it imagines, not what it has. Epicurus saw this as the source of disturbance. To desire infinitely is to postpone peace indefinitely. The quiet mind reverses this through reasoned satisfaction. It enjoys what exists instead of chasing what might. Every simple meal, every quiet hour, every breath becomes sufficient. Life, when accepted rather than pursued, ceases to be exhausting. Peace of mind, Epicurus said, is the greatest pleasure. Pleasure for the philosopher was never indulgence but equilibrium, the absence of disturbance. The quiet mind does not chase stimulation, it cultivates stability. In this state, even the smallest experiences, light, warmth, breath, contain their own joy. The pursuit of grand excitement fades as perception sharpens. The philosopher learns that to feel deeply, one must first quiet deeply. Pleasure without peace is chaos disguised. The modern pursuit of entertainment is the endless search for escape from one's own thoughts. Epicurus taught the opposite, that fulfillment arises when one no longer needs escape. The quiet mind does not flee thought, it befriends it. It turns inward, not as exile, but as homecoming. When the mind becomes a refuge rather than a battlefield, every external pleasure loses its urgency. Stillness becomes the highest form of enjoyment. To subtract desire is not to reject ambition, it is to refine it. The quiet mind channels energy toward what endures, virtue, wisdom, and understanding. It does not chase reputation or wealth, because both depend on others. True pleasure lies in autonomy. The mind that governs itself needs no external approval. It acts with purpose, not performance. Each moment of mastery becomes a quiet victory over chaos. Epicurus believed that fear and desire are the twin sources of suffering. One drags the mind into the future, the other binds it to fantasy. The quiet mind cuts both cords. It lives neither ahead nor behind, but precisely where it stands. This concentration creates strength. The present, when fully inhabited, expands infinitely. Anxiety withers because there is no elsewhere to fuel it. In stillness, the philosopher finds both serenity and power. The art of tranquility requires simplicity. Epicurus taught his students in a garden, not in palaces or courts. The quiet mind, too, needs little environment to thrive. It flourishes wherever awareness is practiced. The world outside may grow complex, but the mind within grows precise. Simplicity is not poverty, it is clarity. The fewer distractions one carries, the more vividly life is seen. Complexity scatters, simplicity concentrates. To desire endlessly is to misread value. The quiet mind recalibrates it. A clear conscience is greater than wealth. A calm morning outweighs prestige. A life without need surpasses one with abundance. This inversion of values restores balance. The philosopher stops measuring life by quantity and begins measuring it by quality of thought. Contentment becomes the purest form of achievement. Epicurus taught that friendship and reflection are the highest companions of peace. The quiet mind values both but clings to neither. It understands that genuine friendship strengthens tranquility because it is rooted in mutual understanding, not dependence. Reflection deepens it by revealing illusion. Together, they form the ecology of inner life, a balance of connection and solitude. In that equilibrium, the soul breathes freely. Fear, especially the fear of loss, disturbs the untrained mind more than hardship itself. Epicurus dismantled this fear by teaching that loss cannot diminish what is already enough. The quiet mind sees impermanence not as theft, but as law. Change does not disturb it. Attachment does. When expectation dissolves, acceptance remains. The result is not resignation, but release, the unburdening of attention from what cannot be preserved. Peace of mind is not given, it is built. Each day demands subtraction, less hurry, less comparison, less indulgence. The philosopher trims existence down to what is essential: thought, breath, action. Life becomes distilled. Every reduction increases intensity. The quiet mind is not numb, it is attentive. In silence, awareness becomes vivid. The simplest moments acquire depth, the smallest details reveal design. The pursuit of pleasure without reflection leads to exhaustion. The quiet mind reverses the flow. Reflection creates pleasure. When the mind understands its own processes, it finds satisfaction in comprehension itself. To know why one feels, is to cease being ruled by feeling. The philosopher does not suppress emotion, but studies it until it becomes transparent. Emotion loses tyranny when illuminated by reason. Epicurus viewed philosophy as medicine for the soul. Its purpose was to cure the sickness of confusion. The quiet mind practices the same remedy. It examines belief, purifies motive, and removes contradiction. Each act of understanding heals a portion of restlessness. Through this daily therapy, the philosopher becomes whole, not perfect, but integrated. Peace is not absence of motion, but alignment of parts. Desire without limit is a kind of noise that deafens perception. It makes the present invisible. The quiet mind recovers sight by narrowing focus to what is immediate. The cup in hand becomes enough. The conversation before you becomes eternity. Awareness replaces wanting. This state is not withdrawal. It is abundance realized. To notice fully is to live completely. Modern culture celebrates expansion. More goals, more experiences, more possessions. Epicurus and the Stoics both reveal the cost. Each addition fragments attention. The quiet mind practices subtraction instead. It builds intensity through focus. A single act, done with full awareness, outweighs a lifetime of restless movement. In concentration, life regains its weight. Pleasure becomes sustainable only when it no longer depends on novelty. The quiet mind achieves this by transforming perception itself. What others overlook, it admires. What others take for granted, it studies. This refined appreciation turns repetition into revelation. Ordinary existence becomes sacred when experienced through awareness. The philosopher no longer needs escape, because reality itself becomes enough. Epicurus taught that death should not be feared, because when it comes, we are not. The quiet mind expands this understanding to all anxieties about the uncontrollable. What lies beyond reach lies beyond relevance. The mind that truly grasps this principle stops suffering over what it cannot alter. Its focus narrows to what is real, the present decision, the living breath. All else becomes background. The quiet mind measures life not by duration, but by depth of consciousness. A single day lived without agitation surpasses years spent in noise. Time expands in stillness. Each moment unfolds fully because attention is undivided. This intensity is pleasure in its purest form, the joy of being conscious without resistance. Desire disguises itself as ambition. The philosopher distinguishes the two. Ambition seeks excellence, desire seeks escape. The quiet mind cultivates the first and dissolves the second. It strives not for more, but for mastery. Achievement becomes expression of order, not hunger for recognition. Success without serenity is failure in disguise. Peace of mind is the reward of proportion. Epicurus taught moderation not as deprivation, but as elegance, the art of having just enough. The quiet mind practices this art in thought, emotion, and action. It speaks little, feels deeply, and acts precisely. Extravagance in any direction disturbs equilibrium. Simplicity is not limitation, it is perfection refined. When desire quiets, gratitude awakens. The mind begins to see the invisible abundance that always surrounded it. The warmth of light, the sound of breath, the company of reason. These become treasures. Wealth is no longer external but experiential. Epicurus called this the greatest pleasure, to be alive without needing more. The quiet mind understands that the pursuit of pleasure and the pursuit of wisdom converge. Both aim at peace. The philosopher does not divide them. Pleasure without wisdom decays into indulgence. Wisdom without pleasure turns cold. Harmony lies in the center, a life lived thoughtfully, simply, and fully. This balance is the architecture of tranquility. To live this way is to carry freedom within. The world may tempt, provoke, or distract, but the quiet mind remains intact. It has learned the supreme art, wanting nothing unnecessary. Each thought, each act, each breath is chosen deliberately. This deliberate life, stripped of noise, becomes luminous. Epicurus and the Stoics, though divided by schools, meet here, in the still center of understanding, where peace of mind becomes the highest pleasure of all.